That one? Added or Ponami. Gee, there's some beauty songs that... Walk the talk is what it means. Walk the talk. They're cool, those guys, all right? Okie doke. This is Pakiwa and weather-wise today in town. Low cloud and a few showers. 23 high, 17 low. More rain tomorrow. It's a similar sort of forecast tomorrow. High tides if you're heading to the Moana to gaze out across the sea and ponder life and decide what direction you should be heading. It's always good. Very spiritually uplifting to be by our Moana. So high tides for the Waitemata Hauraki Golf, 10 past 5 this evening and at Unihunga at 22:09. Hey, thanks very much for tuning in. Claire Charters is a professor at Auckland University. We've spoken before. She's very skillful in the world of indigenous perspectives internationally and was one of the speakers at a recent UN permanent forum on indigenous issues that was held at the Big Apple. And Claire is with us to talk about the UNDRIP and ongoing issues with it, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Tēnā koe, kia ora nō, Claire.
Tēnā koe.
Welcome home, welcome home. You've been up the Big Apple a few times over the years, haven't you, at these sort of United Nations fora?
I did my master's there, so I lived there for a while, which was pretty awesome.
Yes, no wonder you're so worldly and... Cool. Good on you, Claire. It's good to have you home. Well, firstly, sis, the UNDRIP has been around for a long time. We've always hoped that our country would acknowledge its responsibilities to us as an Indigenous or First Nations people. I hope those terms are still appropriate. But it seems that when we review educational stats, health stats, income levels, amount of our people incarcerated, it doesn't reflect real well on this nation. So you've been over at that forum. What were the issues that took your eye or ear, Claire? Talk with us about some of the guts of what was going on up there, please.
Kia ora, Dale. So one of the key issues was around impacts of climate change, because that was the focus of this year's permanent forum. So talked a little bit about the impacts of Gabriel on Māori, and also made the point that it is appropriate for the government to fund Māori-led responses to climate change weather events, or serious weather events. Talked also around some other issues. So, for example, that we were in the process of drafting a national plan of action to realise the declaration, but the government put a hold on that in December last year. So we talked about the fact that had been a good process because there was partnership in drafting it between Iwi Chair's representatives, the Human Rights Commission and the government. But then, unfortunately, the government unilaterally put a hold on that process. So we commented on that. The UN had been interested in that process because Canada and New Zealand were two of the countries that were sort of leading the charge on national plans of action. And then another issue that we raised was around the Wairarapa Moana case, where the government has effectively, or Parliament has effectively, legislated over their rights to lands, territories and resources. So those were the main issues that we raised. And we also tabled Tina Nata tabled the Maranga Mai report, which I'm not sure if you've had a look at, but it's published by the Human Rights Commission. It's a pretty hard-hitting, strong report. So we spoke in favour of that report also.
Tēnā koe. That's the Human Rights Commission, Te Kāri Tika Tangata, the Rongomau Taketake.
Yes, aye. In that new role, yes.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the issues. Interesting you should raise the Wairarapa Moana Incorporated case in a forum in New York. They obviously wouldn't be familiar with the case, but what were you hoping that it illustrates about governmental attitude?
Well, I guess the issue with Wairarapa Moana, like with Foresha and Seabed, is that you've had Parliament override through legislation rights to lands, territories and resources. So there's not much more you can do. You can't go to court to challenge legislation, or it's very difficult, and if so, you only get a declaration. You can't overturn a parliamentary decision, legislation. So I guess a key to going to the United Nations is it's about the only entity or body where they can take a critical stance, because our constitutional structure doesn't allow, short of protest, etc., any formal critique or opportunity to overturn legislation that takes away rights like that. So that's the value, I guess, of the international fora, is that you can actually draw attention to issues that and try and seek some form of, change through that influence of the international sanction, if you like, here, when otherwise you can't.
There wasn't a big hue and cry, although the way you're framing this, there should have been too, at a government, and let's face it, Labor have been purporting to represent an advanced Māori interest, but at the same time can enact legislation that denies us our basic rights, as was the situation suffered by the people associated with the Wairarapa Moana Inc. kaupapa. Frustrating that on the one hand, seem to be advancing Māori causes, but on the other hand, strangling our rights to whenua. What does this say about attitudes to indigeneity?
Well, it's interesting because I think for a long time, I think New Zealand has shown leadership in cultural rights, so in globally, in support for te reo Māori. I mean, not to say that this is perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but comparatively, but particularly around revitalisation of te reo Māori, for example. But when it comes to political rights or rights to lands, territories and resources, we fall far behind many of our neighbours, especially around those rights to authority, to rights to regulate ourselves. That's where we fall a long way behind. So in the one sense, New Zealand often presents itself as a leader in cultural rights, and therefore presents itself as a leader, but it's not true with respect to what you might call political rights.
Interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I note, sis, that you've been appointed by the President of the UN General Assembly as a Special Advisor on Indigenous Peoples' Participation as part of work under the UNDRIP. What does that involve, this new mahi for you, Claire?
Yeah, well, actually, it was... So that's interesting. So it was actually mahi that I was appointed by the President of the General Assembly back in 2016-2017, when there was a big push globally to have spaces and places for Indigenous peoples to represent as Indigenous peoples in UN forums, because Indigenous peoples usually had to represent as non-government organisations, which doesn't really capture who Indigenous peoples are. So what's happening now is that process has been, I guess, rejuvenated post-COVID. So I was presenting there as the former appointee or advisor to the President of the General Assembly then. But it's also thinking about ways in which, or trying to establish ways in which Indigenous peoples can participate in the General Assembly, in that what's called the Economic and Social Council and so on, which are other very high-level political places which have traditionally been only sort of multilateral state places. So it's quite a big thing in the Indigenous international movement. It reflects that Indigenous peoples have authority, and international law reflects that and should reflect that.
What should we make of coverage, or lack of, really? I mean, here we are in international fora, quite obviously warranting some criticism of approach by our government across generations. Mm-hmm. This is stuff you and I have tracked for a long time, and many others, of course, clear. But the coverage in the media is fairly scant, when in fact some criticism, for instance, of that very issue you've touched on, the Wairarapa Moana one, got very little traction across mainstream press. Do you sense that's deliberate too, because it doesn't shine a very positive light on the government attitude to us as Indigenous communities, Tangata Whenua. Some thoughts on the coverage or lack of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think UN and international forums are only ever and can only ever be part of a movement to achieve change. And with that, or what comes with that, or the way to seek to use those fora is to have media coverage to bring those messages home. Otherwise, as you say, they're kind of silenced unless they've got some form of coverage at home. And that's the power, well, part of the power is bringing political pressure from the international body and shining a light on that international pressure at home. So media coverage, or coverage generally, is very important for us. And, you know, there has been a bit of coverage, I think, around this issue, but not, you know, not always in places like talkback radio or popular radio. It's more often in sort of newspapers or RNZ and so on. So I think there is a real need for these messages and this news to get out into, you know, wider public audiences. And that is really important. I don't think the government likes it much, so I don't think the government's going to be drawing attention, I guess, to international sanction. Well, it's certainly not particularly in its interest to do so. I'm not sure that I don't think the government is kind of prohibiting this, but is certainly not drawing attention to this international oversight.
Well, we are, and we need to. One thing's looking backwards to what has occurred. I guess, in a way, it's beholding on me to ask what's going to happen going forward. So you're back from New York. The team that went up there, including Tina and others, are back home. We don't want issues sitting on the shelf or pushed to the back of the room. So what has to happen now? What's the impact going forward of this mahi?
Well, I said, you know, as I sort of said in that just now, is that part of the international critique or international advocacy isn't the whole answer to or to some of these problems. So what we need to do and what we are doing, I think, is speaking in media, but also, for example, with the Human Rights Commission on the climate change issue, we met yesterday with Minister McAnulty. We've made submissions and we'll draw attention to this under the Severe Weather Emergency Bill, which is now the Act. I'm sure Tina Nutta will be popularising and socialising the Maranga Mai report. On the Wairarapa Moana, there is litigation for, as I say, just for a declaration, because you can't seek to have override Parliament's legislation, but is seeking a declaration of inconsistency, that the legislation is inconsistent with their rights. So we will be supporting that. And in those places, then you can argue for and point out that that legislation is inconsistent with our international human rights obligations. So it's a combined strategy, if you like. You have to also, you know, have those conversations with government. You have to intervene in legislation. You have to try and socialise these ideas, work in media and so on. So I guess we'll be doing all of those things and have been doing all of those things to, you know, collect it sort of cumulatively, bring pressure.
Great catching up with you again, Claire. Thanks very much. You go into bat for our peeps often, and you're doing a good job out in the middle there for us. Thanks so much, sister. It's always nice to have a cordial with you, Claire. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Dave.